Ryan Reese. This is Live with Ryan Reese. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
What up, family? We're here on another Saturday night, and I'm super excited about the guest I have on today. Basically, I was looking at my phone, and I got a text message from one of my friends that sends me amazing testimonies every once in a while. And I received this link to the 700 Club, and it was this guy by the name of Steve Bancar, and it was talking about his exit out of the New Age movement. And I am very interested in the New Age movement and anything that has to do with the occult, because I believe 100% it's having a huge influence on culture, whether we see it or not. As I tour public high schools and middle schools, I talk to students. And as you start talking to me, you start realizing that there's more people into the Ouija board than you think. Because there was a movie that came out, Ouija, about a year ago. And there was this huge movement of the Ouija board coming back with kids experimenting. And then you start talking to kids and they're into angel cards and tarot cards. And then you're watching movies of the supernatural and paranormal activities and Harry Potter. And as you start digging into these movies, you see the occult, how it's penetrating the culture. And it just starts off so innocent, like, oh, Harry Potter. It's a story about these kids learning how to go to school to learn. They don't say witchcraft, magic, and it's infiltrating the youth. And I've heard so many different stories of supernatural things happening in homes with kids because of the Harry Potter movie. And this is why I think it's urgent and important that we do expose this. So when I watched the story of this guy, Steve, my guest today, it was his exit on coming out of New Age. So Steven, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So we have a lot to talk about.
We do.
And I want you to unload. So I'm going to talk less.
Okay.
But let's get into it. Why don't you give me a little overview of where you grew up and how you even got introduced to the New Age movement?
Yeah. Born and raised in a Christian household, like a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, like a radically Christian household.
Okay.
Homeschooled under a Christian curriculum, in and out of Christian private school. Didn't even hit the public school system till grade 7. So, you know, I knew all the Bible stories growing up, in and out of church my whole life. I actually was really passionate about young earth apologetics for some reason in grade 9. Evidence for intelligent design, evidence for a young earth, evidence against Darwinian evolution and so forth. I was researching this stuff a lot in grade 9 and grade 10. When I really started to – and I didn't really identify as a Christian at that time. If you laid out, you know, the set of beliefs of the Christian faith, I would have said, yeah, I probably consent to those. But I didn't have a personal – I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I wasn't born again. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. So I was basically just a walking target for the enemy. And what changed everything for me was I was watching a program on the History Channel at the time. It's called Ancient Aliens.
Yes, I
and,
know it.
Yeah, it's become kind of a meme, you know, mm-hmm. the guy with the crazy, wacky hair and a few other characters on there who are pretty funny. But it basically puts forward the idea that all of these ancient cultures in the past, like the Egyptians, like the Sumerians, like the Babylons, like the Mayans, that what they were trying to describe in their stories, what they're trying to describe in their hieroglyphs, when they talk about, you know, gods and these supernatural beings coming down from the sky, what they're really describing is flesh and blood alien encounters. And they'll show pictures and depictions in these ancient cultures that appear to be spacecrafts or UFOs or alien-looking beings. And their theory is that, okay, well, maybe we're not alone in the universe. Maybe it's actually teeming with life, and maybe they're, you know, this culture is a billion or 2 billion years more advanced in terms of their evolution, and they know how to travel through, you know, just through light years in order to get to us. And what we're seeing, all these ancient religions, the reason they started is it's just ancient man trying to, with his primitive mind, understand these alien visitations that he's having. And that to me was, at the time when I heard that, that seemed to be incompatible with Genesis, you know? It mm-hmm. seemed to be incompatible yep. with six-day yep. creationism because
yep.
I didn't see anywhere where, does it say, God created the aliens. I didn't see anywhere where, you know, if the Bible says that no man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, And, you know, Paul says one thing can be said with certainty, that Christ came to die for sinners. Does that mean that for the tens of millions of planets that have intelligent life on them, did Christ have to go and die an atoning death tens of thousands of times over for each alien planet, and then the Holy Spirit have to dictate to them their own version of Scripture depending on their own unique history? And to me, it was just like, what if – that seems like too much to reconcile.
Yeah.
I'd rather just go with what they're telling me and what everyone who believes in Andronaut theory is telling me, that Christianity is just one piece of a much bigger puzzle of man trying to understand this infinite intelligence that is God. And so when you start researching aliens,
yes,
for anybody who does this, you know that very quickly you get into stuff that's not just aliens. You're not researching aliens anymore, because you start getting into what's called contact material, where these alien beings end up giving material to mankind. They're saying things to people. When people are having alien abduction experiences, whether or not they're actually they're real and correspond to reality is a second issue, but or how we can understand that's a second issue. But the point is, people believe that they're experiencing these things with these alien beings, and these alien beings are always giving them information, and the information is always spiritual in nature. It's always spiritual philosophy, and it's always reinforcing the intrinsic deity of man, that man's divine, that man's an aspect of the Creator, and that all the suffering in the world is a response – a response to man's own self-ignorance, that he doesn't know who he is. He's forgotten that he's a little god. He's forgotten that he's one with the Creator. And so all of this suffering, all of this chaos in the world is because we have separated ourselves from unity, consciousness. And so this is called pantheism.
So you got right into pantheism immediately.
Yeah. Because
when I watch those shows, I've seen those shows. You start Googling YouTube stuff and checking out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I could see that happening. For sure.
Yeah. So I started getting into pantheism, and then I was thinking to myself, okay, if God is everywhere and God is everything, which is what pantheism teaches, then God must be me. God must be the substance of my being. And in the New Age movement, they'll call God the unified field of consciousness. They'll believe that the universal substance that makes up all of space-time reality is consciousness, an impersonal field of consciousness, and that this impersonal field of consciousness gives rise to all the particles, all of the everything we see in the world. And so everything can ultimately be reduced down to one single substance, namely this universal field. And I'm an expression, an emanation out of that universal field, and so are you. So we are all ultimately God. And if I'm God, then now I know what Jesus said when he said before Abraham was, I am, because I am too. And wherever there's that presence of I am, there's the identity of God. So Jesus is someone who realized he was God, not someone who was born as God in the flesh and, you know, truly man, truly God. He's someone who, just like we have the potential to do, he awoke to his true nature, which is unification with this impersonal concept of God, this impersonal force in the universe, which the Hindus would call Brahman. So everything's Brahman. The self, the Atman, as they would call it, is Brahman. And so, you know, now I've found God. Now I'm meditating. Now I'm practicing mindfulness. Now I'm researching mind science and different anomalies in human consciousness that seem to correspond to this idea of consciousness being a field rather than something created in the brain. And
so you're digging into different religions at this point.
I'm digging into different religions, yeah. But it through the lens of New Age.
Well, it seems like, as I've studied a lot of that stuff, it seems like it's just all packaged different. A lot of the different religions and New Age, it all kind of – it's the same – there's similar aspects of it, but it's kind of packaged different.
Yeah, it's packaged a little different depending on what the source material you're reading is. Mm-hmm. But it ultimately gets reduced back down to the doctrine of man, which is that man is divine. And really this is Satan's plan hasn't improved at all in the last 6,000 years. It's the same lie.
What did he say? I want to be like the Most High God.
That's Isaiah 14. He said, I want to ascend to the heights of God, right? And then Ezekiel 28 is another one. But back in Genesis 3, you know, if you eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? What's he say? So basically, here's a tree of knowledge in good and evil.
Yep.
Here's some secret knowledge, some special knowledge, right? If you eat from that tree, you will become as gods. You will become like God, and that's why he doesn't want you eating it, is because he knows that you're going to ascend to his height when you eat from the tree. And so
The difference between good and evil. And
yeah. Right. Know the difference between good and evil. But his lie was, you know, through secret knowledge, you can become as God. Through special revelation, special knowledge, and that's the exact same thing in the New Age movement. And some will go as far, such as, you know, the mother of the New Age movement, Helena Blavatsky, openly praising Satan in her book, her main work called The Secret Doctrine, saying Satan's the spiritual father of mankind, you know, because he's the one who broke mankind out of this kind of controlled, bigoted system that Yahweh created. And here comes Lucifer into the rescue saying, hey, you know, here you can enact on your free will and you can
Dude,
do your own
thing. Trip.
Yeah. So this is something that they teach in Gnosticism, that Yahweh's evil and the evil Yahweh created the world. And then Lucifer comes along and he's trying to empower man and liberate man. And it's all about man's own exaltation and freedom, which is really what the whole principle of Satanism is about. If you read the Satanic Bible.
I was just going to say it because I've done some research on the Satanic Bible. It's all about that. So that's why it's so appealing.
That's right. That's right.
That's why it's so appealing.
But,
I get it.
But that's also why Anton LaVey, the father of the Church of Satan, accuses the New Age movement of stealing its practices and beliefs from Satanism. He accuses them of being hypocritical and not attributing these beliefs and these practices to whom they rightly belong, namely the devil. So I was kind of naive when I was researching this stuff.
Yep.
And it started turning into practice. And I had an experience where I was literally outside of my body. And I
– During meditation?
Not during meditation. No, I was having a lucid dream. Mm-hmm. You're conscious in your dream.
Now, is that called astral travel?
Yes, astral travel.
Okay.
Yeah.
What that is.
Lucid dreaming is not astral travel. Some might say it is. It's really not. Lucid dreaming is when you are in a dream and your awareness sets in and you're fully conscious that you're dreaming and you have the state of awareness you have now, only you're aware that you're within a dream world. And I was having one of these dreams. I used to have them all the time when I was in the occult. And I remember having a thought in my head, this is so real, I can't distinguish this from real life anymore.
Wow.
And after I had that thought, I was driving my car in my lucid dream. I was pulled up out of my car, and I was hovering over the housetops in my lucid dream, like 40 or 50 feet in the air. And then in front of me, like 20 feet away from me, there was a red being, and he looked like a reptile. He was disgusting looking, and he had red skin, black markings on his face, red cloak, and he was staring at me. He had pulled me up out of my car, and he was looking at me, and we looked at each other for maybe 3 or 4 seconds, and he had a third eye between his two eyes.
Third eye, yeah.
He had a third eye, his third eye, which is kind of the eye in the New Age movement. It represents like enlightenment and psychic power. He opened his third eye at me and kind of like pulled me into it. And it sounds crazy, but that's what happened. And then it was like darkness for like 3 seconds. And then when I opened my eyes, I was back in the natural, except I was hovering over my body 3 feet, 4 feet in the air. And I was lighting up my room, and I sat up in the air and realized I'm floating right now. And I looked around my room, and I'm out of body. I'm having an out of body experience. Right. And then I fought to get back into my body for the next 4 or 5 minutes. And I could see my light leg, my spirit man leg. I don't even know what we would call it in Christianese, if you will.
Yeah.
Something was bouncing in and out of my physical leg. I could see them both. And finally, I got back into my body, got pulled out again when I didn't even want to come out of my body, got pulled out again.
No control at this point.
No control. I'm trying to get in and I can't. And once I finally do, I get yanked out again.
Wow.
And, you know, in the New Age movement, it's this garbage lie that as long as you say affirmations, you'll be protected. Visualize white light around yourself, because if there are negative astral entities, which is their euphemism for demons.
Yes.
They kind of respect your free will. They can't do anything unless you allow them to. That's garbage.
Yeah.
The minute you yield to any type of sin,
yeah,
they have legal right into your life. You know, you've forsaken the commandments of God, and now you're in a new spiritual territory with a new set of rules, and your free will, your desires don't really matter. They don't have to obey your free will.
Nope. You're out of control of protection of the Father God.
Amen. Yeah, exactly. And so I realized I didn't have control, but I finally got back into my body, realized I was just out of my body.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
This is happening. You grew up in the church, mm-hmm. but you were never filled with the Holy Spirit. You never had a relationship with God, but you do have knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. How are you tying this in? You're experiencing this, but yet you grew up with knowledge of the church. How are you kind of like putting this all together?
The whole time I'm obsessively, every single day, trying to understand this in light of the Bible, in light of Christ, every single day. That's what I want to know. I want to know how God fits into this whole thing, who he is, what he is, you know, who Jesus is. I really, really wanted to know. I was really hungry and thirsty for the truth. I figured, you know, I have one life to live. This is a really weird place. Human consciousness is amazing. It obviously didn't originate out of a rock 7 billion years ago when a lightning bolt hit it, like we're told in, you know, abiogenesis, the natural explanation. It's like that doesn't make sense. Some intelligence is responsible for this. I need to know who.
Okay, but now you've seen this guy, this demon.
Now I've seen this guy.
And how are you, like, what's your thoughts about what you've just seen with this guy? I mean, where do you think he's from? Do you think he's a demon, the devil?
I don't necessarily think he's a demon. No, that didn't really clue into me. I figured he could have been a bunch of things. He could have been a spirit guide. He could have been just some entity living in the astral realm.
Which these are all demons, listeners, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, exactly. He could have been, I asked someone at a New Age event one time, he could have been a Native American spirit.
He
looked like a reptile, but they were saying his skin could have been red and it could have been painted.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So I didn't really know how to understand that.
And this is common in the New Age movement to experience these kind of experiences.
All the time. Some, you know what? A lot of the material in the New Age movement, you go to a bookstore, you look at the New Age section, a lot of the material you'll see there is what's called channeled material. Mm-hmm. It's actually given by these entities. So people go into a trance-like state of consciousness.
Right.
They reach out to what they believe are aliens or spirit guides, and then they're writing things down as this information's coming through. And hence you have—
Doctrines of demons.
The doctrines of demons, 1 Timothy 4:1, right?
Yes.
Literally the doctrines of demons. And all the channel material, it's oriented away from Christ. They're going out of their way to tell you how to understand Christ, what the church got wrong, what early Christianity got wrong. That was always a red flag for me. Why are they obsessed with explaining away Christian fundamentalism?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it is crazy.
I've met a couple psychics and girls that have come out of it, but they're like, yeah, we never had a problem with Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Because where they paint the picture of Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. But it's this subtle deception where they take him off the throne that he rightfully belongs on as exalted man-god, and they lower him down to the level of teacher, just a teacher. Of course he's a teacher, but they'll say he was just a teacher. He was just a prophet of many, many others, of Buddha, of Krishna, of Gandhi. All these guys had something to offer. They were all expressing the same Christ consciousness, right, the same God consciousness that Jesus had. And you know what? If we want to talk about, you know, pervasiveness in the culture, these aren't small beliefs. So the idea – so Christ became Christ by emanating Christ consciousness. So there's Jesus the man, and then there's Christ, which is a state of highly enlightened consciousness where you're now aware of your implicit unity with God. And they would say that state of consciousness is something that, you know, men all throughout history have had. You know, Jesus is not unique. He's not the first. He's not the last. People have this all the time. And Oprah Winfrey actually has gone on the record saying, I could have the actual quote with me. I should have brought it, saying that, you know, I used to believe – she's saying this to her live studio audience. She's answering a question from the audience saying, I used to believe Jesus came and died for my sins and everything like that. But then I realized through reading some of this other material that what he was really doing was teaching us how to access the infinite Christ consciousness that is in each of us. That's how I understand him now. And, you know, this is Oprah Winfrey, okay? This is one of the most influential people in the world, you know, in the last 100 years, easily, teaching this doctrine of Christ consciousness, that man's divine and Christ was trying to teach man how to access his own divinity.
And it's these books that they pick up, and which is the doctrines of demons, and it just opens it. It just takes away the deity of Christ.
It does. It takes away the deity of Christ. Or some will affirm the deity of Christ, but they'll supplement that by adding in, well, everything is divine. Everything's deity. Yeah. There's nothing that's not deity. So Jesus isn't that special. Yeah. So basically this I was in school at the time, at university, to be a philosophy major. And after that astral projection experience, I went into class and they were having a debate. It was ancient Greek and Roman philosophy. They're having a debate about the existence of the soul. And I was like really satisfied and felt like I had really tapped into something special, that God was leading me down the right track, because these questions that mankind has been asking for thousands of years, I just found out, you know, a few hours ago. I just found the answer. Yes, the soul exists. Yes, it can disconnect from the body. I just experienced it. I thought
in the classroom?
I didn't say that. I was thinking it.
Yeah.
I was thinking it. So that ended up turning into I needed to create some social media platform where I could start sharing my research, sharing this stuff. And the stuff I'm describing, this was just like the tip of the iceberg. I really got into some weird alternative science, pseudoscience. And I knew a lot of it at the time. And so I was like getting asked by my brother's friends a lot about chakras, about reincarnation. And I was like, okay, I need to put this all in one place where I can write articles and just put it out there to the world. And within, you know, a year and a half, my Facebook page grew to 500,000 likes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy. And that was because I had really big – I was part of a network online. There was other New Age pages that were all just exploding because people
are searching.
Yeah.
People are searching.
You know, it says, you know, we're all made in the image of God, and it says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God's put eternity into the heart of man. So,
right.
You know,
I'm searching for that.
Right. C.S. Lewis says that something to the effect of, the fact that our heart yearns for something beyond this world proves that this is not really our home. And everyone's built with that. Everyone has that. And in fact, the posts that ended up doing the best were ones about the nature of the afterlife, you know, things like reincarnation. What happens when you die? Does heaven or hell exist? Because people, they are searching, at least, you know. I thought I was searching, but I set up parameters in which I wanted to search.
Yeah.
I defined those boundaries and said, within these boundaries, I'm going to search. You know, I didn't want to open up the Bible and read the Gospels as part of my searching. I just didn't do that because I knew something in there was going to convict me and confront my lifestyle, my worldview. Nobody wants to do that in the New Age movement, really, because nobody wants to deny Christ. They just want to redefine Christ and then accept him. Everyone knows that Jesus is the man. He's the figure. That's kind of the general – they'll say like they put him on a pedestal. They really, really do. But they just redefine him so they don't have to really submit to his lordship.
Says, yeah.
Yeah. So
your blog, your Facebook, it's blowing up. You're having high impact. I mean, you're getting how many views a day? I mean, remember you're saying it was
– Yeah. I made a website after the Facebook page. I made a website, and my website was getting, 200,000 to 300,000 views a day on it.
Got it.
And so it was one of the biggest in the world at the time as far as New Age content is concerned.
And this was also the enemy started hooking you up too. You started making money off this whole thing, right?
Yeah, he hooked it up, you know. I mean,
he always does, but he comes back and he wants he's like the devil at the door. He wants you to pay him back, you know?
Yeah.
He'll be back. He's going to hook you up. He's going to hook you up money, but he's going to come back to get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. He hooked it up, you know. It was, you know, 30 grand a month, 40 grand a month off ad revenue.
And how old are you at this time?
21 or 22.
21, making 30 grand a month. You're living your dream. Satan's like, here you go. You keep spreading the lies, keep deceiving people, and I'm going to pay you for it.
Yeah. And I seemed to have my whole life ahead of me. You know, I was only going to build more connections.
Yeah.
And I was planning on writing a book. I didn't even have a YouTube channel at this time, an active one. And I was like, I could just start a YouTube channel. I could write books. I could do tours. I could continue on with this website. I had another website fully ready to launch that I just put like $5,000 into building out, which I thought was going to be a staple in the community. I was like, my whole life.
You're going to be a millionaire at this point. I mean, it's like everything's lining up.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm working from home, you know, maybe 3 hours a day tops. And I make my own hours. Yeah, it was – I thought it was God rewarding me. Yeah. I thought
– That's interesting.
Yeah. I thought, you know, the Bible says – I remember sitting in my sports car, which I had bought cash. And I remember thinking to myself, I was driving, pulling into my driveway, and I told my dad, I was like, I was just arrogant.
Oh, we got, okay, yeah. We got to talk because your parents are Christians.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we got to get on that soon, but keep talking.
Yeah, I pull out of my driveway and I tell him, I'm like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you as well. I was so deceived. I thought I was really seeking God. I thought I was doing God a favor by waking people up to just a higher state of living, a higher state of consciousness, you know, pulling people out of materialism into spiritism.
But that is legit, though, because the enemy has come to deceive. He's the father of lies.
Yeah.
He's the dragon of old. He will deceive you. You won't even know you're deceived. This is for the listeners. You won't even know you're deceived, but the enemy will come in subtly. It starts just – dude, think about how subtle it started. You're watching TV at home, just this show on TV, and then now look at the years of what Satan did, started deceiving you to where you're at. Now you're having outer body experiences, and I can imagine so much other stuff happening, and then you're just popping this verse saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is deception at its finest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, it says in 2 Corinthians 4 that Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers lest they should see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I was blind. Like, I literally could not see. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I didn't have spiritual discernment from God. I did know and sensed intuitively that there's something more to Jesus, which everyone, you know what? The Bible says in Romans 1 that God has clearly revealed himself in nature, even his, his eternal nature and divine power, such that no man has an excuse. Man's without excuse.
Right.
We have one general revelation of him in nature, the things that have been created, and a second general revelation of him in conscience, in the law that's been written on our hearts. And so when we hear the words of Jesus, when we sense his presence, our spirit man is like, that's my maker. That's my creator. Like, that's not just another guy. That's the one who made everything. He's Lord over everything. I think there's something implicit in us that recognizes the voice of its maker. You know what I mean? It recognizes the voice of its father, even if it's been alienated and estranged through sin, which it has been. We've been cut off from relationship with God such that, you know, it says we're dead in trespasses and sins. It says that, you know, we're – even in Hebrews, you know, it says we're illegitimate sons. You know, because we're the sons of someone else, right? Ephesians 2, we're following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. I was a son of disobedience, but I didn't know it. I had absolutely no clue. I thought I was a son of God. We're all God's children relationally, and I thought I was doing his will. And during this time, I'm absolutely morally depraved, absolutely morally perverse. My conscience is seared. I'm living a double life. I can lie to people straight to their face and feel nothing.
Really?
Yeah. I can hurt people and feel nothing. I got used in my teenage years. I got used to silencing the voice of my conscience. And when the New Age movement, you know, part of the New Age movement tells you to disidentify from your feelings and from thoughts in your consciousness.
Really?
Because what they'll say is you are the background awareness that is aware of what's going on within the play of consciousness. There's something beyond the thinker and the activity that is aware that these things are occurring. And so you don't want to – you want to identify with the observer and just rest as the presence of pure consciousness and rest as the observer. You don't want to get into, you know, the thoughts and figuring out all these things. It's just the mind being the
and
mind.
That's where the Holy Ghost is constantly drawing you.
Sure.
You know, but from a young age, it's always that Holy Spirit, because, you know, the job of the Holy Ghost is to draw people to himself.
Yeah.
So they're teaching you how to shut down.
Oh, yeah.
The Holy Ghost.
How to shut down the Holy Ghost and how to shut down your own conscience.
And your own conscience.
When your own conscience is telling you, hey, like, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be saying that. You get used to snapping out of it and saying, no, that's a judgment. That's just a label. That's just the ego. And so you do get used to silencing the voice of your conscience.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we have 1 minute till break. Dude, this is intense. We have Stephen. How do you pronounce your last name?
Bancars.
Bancars. Yeah. Stephen Bancars from Canada on his journey out of New Age. And man, when you talk about New Age, there's just so many different religions and so much information. When you're talking about all these different books that you've been pulling from, the doctrines of demons, I mean, it's... And you know what? It's a huge industry, right?
It's a huge industry. Before we go to break, you know, a recent study, a series of recent studies from the Pew Research Center shows that 25% of Americans believe in astrology.
We just got that break, Mark. Gotcha. So we will be back in 2 minutes. We'll talk to you soon.
More Live with Ryan Reese coming up.
Everything all right?
Sure. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say whoop-de-doo.
Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese.
Don't say what I warn you.
Loud noises!
And we are back with Stephen on his exit out of New Age. And right before the break, Stephen, we were talking about how New Age is it's a huge industry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, just how, you know, some of the best-selling books of all time, things like The Celestine Prophecy, you know, 30, 40 million copies, they're New Age books. Like when you look at surveys that have come out recently, we see that 40% of Americans meditate at least once a week. That's crazy.
Breakdown. What is the downfall of meditation? What does it do?
The downfall.
There's Christians that meditate.
Yeah,
meditation class.
The worst. I mean, I guess the real primary concern with it is, well, obviously the Bible tells us to fill our minds with the things of Christ, all things that are wonderful, all things that are pure. Think on these things.
Yes.
Right. Nowhere does it say sit there, empty your mind of everything, empty your mind of all belief, empty your mind of all concern. Empty your mind of all content. Let all your defense systems down. Never address anything that comes up and just sit there. And when you're just sitting there, you have no defense systems. How can I be sober-minded and vigilant because the devil's a roaring lion seeking to devour whom he may? How can I be vigilant and careful? How can I cast down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God if I'm all these thoughts against the knowledge of God are pouring in and I'm training myself to not sit there and just let them be? You're trained
100% against what the Bible teaches.
Yeah, you're trained to cast down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? You're not, but the New Age movement will tell you when you're meditating and thoughts come into your mind, just let them be. Or as Ram Dass will say, love your thoughts. When they come up, love them. Don't judge them, love them. And the Bible says, no, you're supposed to
cast
down vain imaginations, you know? You're supposed to test these things against Scripture. And so you have all these thoughts pouring in and you're getting use. You're training yourself to not compare them with the word, to not cast them down, to not, you know, assess them in light of your conscience and your convictions. You're supposed to just love them and allow them to be as they are and not identify with them. And you're desensitizing your conscience and you are letting down your defense systems for demonic influence, whether it be thought or just spirit. I mean, it's a pagan practice. You can't be in a position like that, do something the Bible tells us not to do, and think that you're going to be exempt from demonic influence. But
I want to expose something else because I was watching some of your videos last night. And that video you were talking about, the idols in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that because there's a lot of people that have these they travel to different countries and they get like these crazy masks from like Africa or they have like the Buddha or they have like Hindu idols or even like the god with the – it's like a woman face and then it has like a mermaid body. I think what god that is. You know, there's like there's all these different gods, you know, from different religions. But just the innocence of like, oh, you know, I collected these from the world and I have them in my house. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I would say from Scripture, if we look at what the Bible has to say about, you know, religio-spiritual practices from pagan nations apart from Israel, what you see is in Leviticus 17:7, when Israel goes apostate and starts serving these gods of other nations, it says that they were making sacrifices unto goat demons, right? And Deuteronomy 10:22, when they do it again, the Bible says that they were sacrificing to demons that were no gods. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 20 to 22, he says, I imply that what pagans offer unto idols, they offer unto demons. He says you can't sit at the table of demons and the table of the Lord. You can't drink the cup of devils and the cup of the Lord. So we're told in Scripture, you know, the idol in and of itself, it's a piece of wood.
Yep.
It's just rearranged molecules. It doesn't have any power in and of itself. But we're told there is a spirituality behind this idol. that it's pointing to, that it's connected to,
yep.
right? And that this spiritual reality is demonic in nature. And so when the Bible says, you know, that what they offer unto idols, they offer unto demons, that doesn't – like demons aren't just present on the idol when an offering is being made. It's not. They don't just appear there all of a sudden when a bowl of grapes is in front of a Krishna idol. They're there when the bowl of grapes isn't there. They're connected to it. And so when you have things in your house that are implicitly connected to beings in another realm, you're inviting – I believe you're inviting – you're giving demons leeway into your home.
The door is right open.
The door is open. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first things the Holy Spirit showed me when I got saved was I had all of these idols in my house and I could sense like just stir – in the spirit, like really scary stuff going on in the spirit. And it was because I had all these New Age books and I had all of these idols in my house and I threw them out and then the spiritual atmosphere cleaned out.
Well, like the book of Acts. Remember it talks about that story when they –
They burn all the scrolls,
yep.
right? They don't sell them. They don't move them out into the garden because they still like how they look. When they realize this is not of God, this is idolatry, this goes against scripture, they burnt them. They destroyed them. Right, we don't need to be recycling idols back into the satanic kingdom.
Yep.
And so some people will say, "Well, I have all these old New Age stuff. Can I sell them? You know, crystals? Can I sell them?" No, throw them out. That's the biblical precedent: is that you burn them.
So I got a quick story. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take too much time, but there was a girl that her family was into. They've grown up having supernatural stuff. They were all atheists in their house, where like mm-hmm. paintings would be falling off their mm-hmm. house and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they were actually having Harry Potter. Demonic things showing up in their kid's room that was 9 years old, locking mm-hmm. the doors and mm-hmm. like these things. Mm-hmm. So they were calling me from Germany and I'm praying with them. I'm like, "Hey, you got to clean your house out. What's in your house?" So they got rid of, I'm like, "Do you have supernatural videos in your house?" So she was going through, she deleted every, threw away stuff. And she's like, "It's still happening." I'm like, "Is there anywhere else in your house?" Then she went upstairs in her attic. She found more movies, supernatural movies, you know, of like paranormal activities. She threw all of that stuff out and she says, "There's still stuff happening in my house." I said, "Is there books? Is there CDs? Like, you got to get rid of anything that's opening these doorways." Mm-hmm. Well, it turned out she found a book that her grandfather gave her. It was a book that Hitler wrote from way back when
wow.
he was around. And she's like, "Well, it's priceless." You know, I go, "Dude, that thing is straight demonic. You mm-hmm. got to burn that thing. You got to get rid of it." So she ended up getting it, burning it, getting rid of it. And the supernatural stuff stopped happening in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Doorways.
Yeah, it says in Ephesians 6, we war not against flesh and blood, but against cosmic powers and principalities and spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And they have their own weapons. They have their own propaganda pieces. And if we have their ammunition in our house, why would we think that they're not also in our house? Like, we're literally just taking a step into the wrong kingdom. And I didn't know I was doing that. So I'm completely entrenched in this stuff, thinking I'm doing God's will. And the whole time I'm completely morally perverse. And what happened was I realized I don't know if God started like quickening my conscience or the Holy Spirit started doing some kind of work. I mean, he must have been drawing me. But
yeah, totally.
Things that I had been doing and suppressing and lying about, I couldn't continue doing it. It just didn't sit well with me anymore. And it reached a point where it was so close to the surface of my being that the girlfriend I was with at the time, she was like, you need to tell me. Like, you can't go to the grave holding on to this stuff. And I was virtually living a double life in our relationship. And so I confessed everything, like every conscious memory. I wasn't actually like going around sleeping around with other people, but it was pretty much everything but that,
yeah.
Everything but physical. And so I confessed, you know, I've been lying about this, I've been lying about that. And I saw the impact that had, the trauma that created, that wrecked her. So we go back to my mother's house and she's a born-again Christian. She's this whole time she's praying for me. This whole time she, you know, thinks I'm lost and deceived, but she is loving on me. Like, she accepts me, even though she doesn't accept my beliefs. And I didn't get offended that she didn't accept my beliefs. She accepted me. You know, some people get offended when their beliefs get questioned. Like, your beliefs aren't you. You hold certain beliefs. Your beliefs they aren't you.
Right.
You're a person. Right? So my mom was loving me as a person but disagreeing with my beliefs. And so just being really supportive. I don't think my dad knew the gravity of what I was doing, what I was involved with. He was just excited that, you know, he could support me and me being successful in something.
Yeah.
But my mom asked us if we were willing to give our lives to the Lord yet, because she's like, "Steve, you know, you were raised Christian. you've always had some kind of intuition connection to Jesus. Are you ready to give your life to the Lord yet? And I was wrecked. I was like, okay, I'll say a prayer of salvation. We both said a prayer of salvation. And
it was that, I mean, you went through hell. I don't want to discredit that. Your whole life's falling apart here. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, yeah, I'll just, like, how, like, what? I mean, being where you were at, how can you just say that easy? Like,
because my prayer of salvation was not so much, I'm going to submit my life to your Lordship.
Yeah.
My prayer of salvation was, I'm going to seek you for who you are. I'm going to stop being dishonest about seeking.
Yeah.
And I want to, like, I was saying words like, I give my life to you, whatever. But in my spirit and in my mind, it's like, Jesus, if you're real, like, I need to know.
If you're real.
I need to stop trying to pretend that you're someone you're not. I want to know who you are exactly as you are. And so the next 2 weeks went by and nothing really changed in my life, still living in sin, still having, you know, all the occult stuff in my house and whatever. And it reached a point where I had to confess a whole nother round of sin, and it was worse than the first one, and it was just bad. It was just bad. I was depraved. I was completely depraved. So I confessed this whole second round of sin, and I that was when I really saw myself in the mirror. Like, I'm dirty. Like, I'm evil. You know, the Bible says that you once were darkness and now you're light. I was darkness. You know, I was an image bearer, but I was spiritually dead and dark. And I saw in front of me my brokenness, my sin against a holy God, and the fact that I knew I had done something. I had sinned against humanity. I had sinned against God. And I was so broken. My thoughts were so twisted. My mind was so jacked up from all the sin. I couldn't fix anything on my own. I had nothing. I had no options, no hope. The Bible says, you know, we were without hope and without God in the world prior to Christ, and in Ephesians 2. And so I went outside one night on the back balcony of my house, and I fell at the feet of the Lord. And I was like, I apologize. I need you. I repent. I'm sorry for the life I lived. And I was bawling. I was just crying on my face. I was like, I have nothing. I have nothing. I need you. I'm sorry. And that's when I encountered his presence for the first time.
What was that like?
He was really, really making sure I knew who he was.
Yes.
It was, for me, it was less about, you know, I wasn't reaching out saying, Lord, I need love. Yeah. I need love. It was, I need answers. And I need hope. And just completely being consumed by his presence around me and knowing the simplicity of it all. It's the Jesus of the New Testament. He's the Son of God. He died for my sins. Jesus is Lord. That's all it is. That's all I could say in my head. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Dude, that is amazing.
And the Bible says no one says Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And and what was crazy to me was not only was this presence, it felt like it was in front of me. It felt like he was in front of me, but it was also filling me. It was also inside of me now. And I was listening to the sounds around me in nature, like in the spirit. I was detecting what was going on while he was there. And like the sounds of nature, they were glorifying him. They recognized him when he showed up. I don't know if God was just showing, like, I somehow they knew, you know? Mm-hmm. Creation knew who he was. You know, creation's like, the king's here, you know? And I sensed somehow, I don't know if the Holy Spirit showed me that they sensed it, but I'm like, if even creation itself cries out, you know, I'm done. So that's when I went back inside, and the Holy Spirit started showing me the deception, the flaws, the agenda, and everything I had researched. The biggest one was this obsession with aliens that I had. I was putting pieces together, you know. All of these cultures that were visited by these aliens, they were all obsessed with human sacrifice.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They don't tell you that on Ancient Aliens. They all believed that these beings were supernatural. None of them – there's not a single ancient text in the world that attributes these beings as coming from another planet. None. They all believed they were spiritual in nature and that their way to appease and connect with them was through blood sacrifice. And I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of a big deal. I can see that demons are trying to set up all these world religions to kind of murk up and confuse people and lead people away from what I just experienced. All of this is about what I just experienced. Everything. Everything's about him. This whole life is about him. I thought that was narrow and bigoted and whatever. It is narrow. The Bible says narrow is the way that leads to life and few there be that find it. It is narrow. The truth is narrow. The truth is exclusive by nature. But I had the truth living in me now. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, I've been wrong. It wasn't guilt. It wasn't guilt and condemnation. It was just, wow, I was wrong.
Yeah.
And I remember staring at my bookshelf and I had all these books lined up. And I remember peace, just the peace of God. You never have to ask who God is ever again. He lives in you now. He just showed you who he is. And so I repented online. I told people, you know, I sounded kind of – to people, I probably sound schizo or something.
Yeah.
I was like, I apologize for leading you astray.
So this is immediately after you go to the computer.
This is like a day later. Midday later, maybe 2 days after.
Dude, amazing.
Yeah, and I said, I'm done writing New Age articles. I apologize. This is all a demonic setup to keep us away from salvation in Christ alone. And Jesus is real. He's Lord. He just revealed himself to me. I sent out mass emails to my, 90,000 email list, telling them about Jesus, telling them I just encountered Christ, telling them to stay tuned because I'm going to make a testimony video sharing with them what I had just experienced. I was managing 2 community groups at the time, totaling like 70 or 80,000 members. And then my Facebook page, which was 750,000. I'm telling them all, like, Jesus is real. I just experienced him. And that was my initial testimony video that I put up where I'm in my car describing what happened to me.
Is that the one that's on your YouTube channel?
That's the one where I'm sitting in the car. I'm saying, hey, guys, some of you may know me as Steve from Spirit Science.
Plug your YouTube channel right now so people can go watch it.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's just Stephen Bankhurst, youtube.com/Stephen Bankhurst. Yeah, and just go to uploads, and it's the first video I ever uploaded. And I didn't have any Christians online following me at that point. I was like, hey, Jesus is real. You know, we don't have to get, all tied up in a knot over this. It's just the truth. And I shared with them, my journey through it and what I experienced.
So what happened? Were people freaking out?
Yeah. More people – a lot of people were like, I'm so happy you found your truth.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I don't want my truth and I don't care about your truth. I want the truth, I don't want – truth is not some subjective personal thing. It's like I appreciate – I didn't say that, but I'm like, I appreciate, your support. But, Jesus really says that he's the way and the truth, not a way and a truth. It actually says in John 18, Jesus says, I came to bear witness to the truth, and whoever is on the side of truth is on my side. And then Pilate asks, what is truth? So anyways, there was that group of people who was like, yeah, great, you found one of many paths, we will celebrate that. And there was others who realized, okay, well, you're implying that everything we believe in is demonic and false.
False.
And that you're also implying that me and all my relatives who didn't believe in Jesus were going to hell, right? And there's really strong implications of the gospel. And so I had people,
everyone's realizing that they've been believing a lie for how many years?
Yeah.
Everything is not real, what they've thought.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hardcore realization.
That's a hardcore realization, especially when people were looking up to me for answers. They trusted my opinion.
Yeah, you were like the guru in a sense.
Yeah, not so much a guru, but I kind of mediated that between them and the gurus. I kind of explained how and why things like that were true.
But you were a spiritual leader to them.
Sure. Yeah. And so for me to coherently explain why it's wrong, to show from videos why these things are wrong, it was throwing a lot of people for a loop, people tell me to kill myself, rid myself off the face of the earth. When they told me those things, I felt literally nothing inside because God's with me. He's with me. You don't understand. You just don't understand. So there was that. And then there was also people in the New Age movement who were listening in. And they're like, okay, we followed him for a long time. I'm wondering if there's anything to this,
Right.
He's been trustworthy. He's never had anything like this happen before. Let's listen and see and kind of keep tabs and see what's happening. And I have,
you know, a lot of people who've messaged me saying, hey, like, your videos have led me out of the New Age movement. Actually, you were talking at the beginning of the show about, like, tarot cards and angel cards and everything like that. There's this woman who is one of the best selling New Age authors of all time. Her name's Doreen Virtue. You can go to any Kohl's, any Barnes & Noble, any bookstore, and if you go to the New Age section, you'll see Doreen Virtue angel cards all over the place. She was the angel card person in the New Age movement. You know, 50-plus publications in the New Age movement. Hay House is all-time bestseller, which is a major New Age publishing house. She also had a encounter with Christ back in, I believe, the beginning of 2017, where she had a vision of Jesus, ended up realizing he is who he claimed to be. He's the Jesus of the New Testament, got baptized, has also completely repented of everything online, saying, I apologize. This is all not true. Like, a following bigger than mine was. Like, massive, massive following. And saying, you know, Jesus is Lord, the Bible's true, it's the Word of God, and these things that I was once teaching are dangerous. And she's repented. She's not receiving royalties from any of her past things. She's trying to get her name taken off. She's sold out of her old life.
What has there been a big response of people coming back to the Lord or getting out of New Age from her?
From her, yeah. Absolutely, from her. And she reached out to me and she was like, Steve, your videos really helped me when I was transitioning out of the New Age movement.
Yeah.
So there has been that was like amazing, because I reached out to her saying, oh my gosh, you're a Christian now, no way. And she's like, you know, I'm really happy you reached out to me because I watched your videos. They really encouraged me when I was making that transition.
That's amazing. Where is she from?
She was from Hawaii.
Yeah.
And she just moved to Washington now. I have an interview with her on my channel, actually. It's the most recent upload I did.
I have to check it out.
Yeah, I'm interviewing her, just talking about her journey through the New Age movement and everything. But basically, so the fruit of my experience ranged from other New Agers being edified and encouraged by what I was sharing to people telling me to kill myself and whatever, and then everything in between. So I ended up making...
We have 4 minutes left, so let's finish it up and definitely encourage people that may be in it or...
Yeah.
You know, whatever, however you want to end
this. Yeah, I've made a website since then, and a Christian apologetics website. I was really into Christian apologetics even when I was in the New Age movement for some reason, just because I like the arguments for God's existence. So I have a website called reasonsforjesus.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of articles on the New Age movement and on, you know, the reliability of the Gospels, on the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. And actually, I'm working on a book right now that's going to be out by the end of the year on the New Age movement. I'm co-authoring it with someone else who came out of the New Age movement. We're not totally sure on the title yet, but so there are going to be resources. There are resources already to put into people's hands if they have questions, if they want to know, hey, what about crystals? Hey, what about Christ consciousness? Hey, what about yoga or channeling or whatever? There's articles. There's things available on my website and whatnot. I would definitely like to encourage people into... Nope, just stop suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. That's really what it all comes down to, is that we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We know that the God revealed to us in nature is not just some abstract general idea of God. It's a personal God. It's a personal intelligence. And we all have this intuitive knowingness that the one who made everything is somehow connected to Jesus Christ. I would encourage people to seek him out. The Bible says whoever seeks shall find, whoever knocks, the door shall be opened unto him. Jesus says, I will by no means turn away those who come to me, right? It says, when you seek me with all your heart, you will surely find me.
How do people do that? For listeners right now, if they're like, I want to find Jesus, what does that look like?
That looks like you saying, Lord, being sincere, recognizing that you're an image bearer before God, but you're also fallen. You're in a state of sin. You need his forgiveness. You need his forgiveness. He's a holy God. We have defied his moral standard. We've committed sin, and we're therefore severed from relationship with him, and we're worthy of his judgment. And so it's, Jesus, if you're real, please reveal yourself to me. I want to know. I need to know. I need to know who you are. If you love me, if you're really my creator, if you're really my savior, please draw me. Show yourself to me. And then get, and then you need to now meet him in the middle, if you will, and read his words. See what he says about you. See what he says about himself. The best place to start is probably the Gospel of John, because he has so much to say about himself and humanity in there. And we have to remember, Jesus Christ is a person. He's kind of like you and me. He has a personality. He has emotions. He has a body still, you know? He's approachable. Just like I'm talking with you, we can talk to Jesus, just have an ordinary conversation. Even if you don't, I've had someone come up to me, I don't know how to pray. Tell Jesus, dear Jesus, I don't know how to pray. Help me pray. Jesus, I don't know where to start in my seeking for you, but I want to know you. If you're real, please draw me. And he will work with that 100. He promises you will find him if you seek him. So if you're willing to seek him, you're willing to ask him and approach him, he's a person. He's going to respond to you, and he's faithful to fulfill his promises over and over in Scripture.
And that's it right there. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to reveal himself to you. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Stephen, for being on.
Thank you.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
And the vision has begun.
The Whosoever's
documentary.
Sonny Ryan, head.
Crazy backgrounds, drug addicts, you know, rock stars.
Sex, pornography, nothing but a whore.
Sleeping with Maxim, girls just going nuts.
I ended up cheating on her.
I thought I was being a Christian.
As far as circumstance on the outside, I'm struggling.
Nothing but cocaine and marijuana.
We don't like religion. We don't believe in it.
I'm a whosoever. I'm nobody.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.